Okay, there we go. Had a trouble getting it to start there. Okay, so tonight we're going to talk about the whole marketing process. We're going to talk about, you know, from beginning to end, pretty much, you know, the process that you go through when you're dealing with prospects, when you're, you know, regardless of where they come from, whether they're from reverse marketing, whether it's from leads, whether it's from ads that you've placed, whatever it is that you do. Once you get that person on the phone, what do you do? That's the biggest question that comes up with people. They'll say, I follow the scripts that are from the different companies that they're with. They'll do a number of things, but they don't seem to get the results. And I want to go through that whole process with you to really give you an idea of what it really needs to look like beginning to end, regardless of what you're marketing or which company you're with. One of the things that I've learned through the years and has been really hammered home to me quite a bit is that it's what happens before and after you bring a person through the system that a company has in place that makes the difference. So I want to, you know, just kind of reiterate that to you and go over some of the things that I would normally do when I'm talking to a prospect on the phone before they go through the system, as you call it. And when I refer to the system, I'm talking about, you know, the company's website, any presentations or conference calls or three-way calling or introductions or anything that you do as part of the process of getting the person to look at the information. A lot of companies will tell you, or just about every company will tell you that it's the system that does the selling. It's the system that enrolls people. All you got to do is introduce them to the system and it'll do it. But see, if it was that simple and people were just going out there and introducing people to the system and that they enrolled, then everybody'd be getting wealthy in the industry, and everybody in the industry is not getting wealthy, so that tells you a lot. That tells you that people are having a difficult time even getting people to the system, or they're not knowing what to do after a person goes through the system. So we're not going to spend a lot of time talking about the system per se, but what do you go over with that person to get them up to the point where you introduce them to the system? And there's a series of steps that you go through for that, and there's a series of steps that you're going to go through after that. So be ready to take some notes here tonight. Let's see here. One of the things I want to point out to those of you that normally listen in via webcast, the webcast usually updates right before the call starts. And if you click on conference.virtualprofitacademy.com, that'll take you to the, webcast, W-E-B-C-A-S-T, webcast.virtualprofitacademy.com. And you just refer your people and your downline to go there as well. You go in there, and it takes you to the webcast of this. So if you want to listen in online and be able to submit questions online, that's how you get there. And that's always going to be the same from now on for every single conference that we have, every teleconference we have, is just to go to that. And then for your prospects, the way we have it set up is we have the online webinar room set up, which is conference.virtualprofitacademy.com. And that takes them to the online webinar room where we can actually meet with them and answer their questions between 2 o'clock and 5 o'clock every day. All right, so let's get into the meat of this. Okay, what happens, first of all, you know, we're not going to talk about lead generation tonight. There's a number of different ways to generate leads, and that's a whole other subject that we can take up a whole night of training on. But tonight I want to talk a bit about what you do when you have a lead, when you have somebody that you can contact or somebody contacts you. First of all, you're going to get in touch with a person in one of several different ways. Okay, either A, you know, they're going to contact you. B, you're going to contact them through a lead list. That's really the two ways this can happen. You get contacted by a prospect, or you contact a prospect. And when you get that person on the phone, you don't want to just rush into sending them to a website. I actually had a person that was in a company that I was with years ago, not that long ago really, maybe about 5 or 6 years ago, and what happened was he came in, and the way he signed up was I took him through my normal process that I go through with a prospect when I sign him up. And I would teach that to people, which is what I'm going to teach you tonight. And he said, you know what, I do it faster, I have a faster, better way of doing it, and where I just go out and I call people, and I send them to listen to a sizzle call, and then I send them to the website. I tell them that I send them to a sizzle call, and I give me my number to call back. So all I do is I call up and say, hi, you know, my name's JC, and I got a really hot opportunity for you. You need to listen to this number right now, and then call me back and let me know what you think. And he'd give them a number for a sizzle call that was like about a one-minute sizzle call, and he said that works for him. Okay, now, his definition of works for him meant, you know, that it didn't take a lot of time with each prospect. That's what he meant by it works for him. everybody took that to mean that it worked for him and that he made a lot of money by doing it. He was one of our lowest producers. He didn't get any results whatsoever. Yet what he was doing is he was teaching all of his downline of people that he brought in that that's what he did. So he had a whole downline of people doing that. None of them were getting any enrollments, but they were all doing that. And it was easy, and they were having fun doing it. That spread because he mentioned it on a conference call, and then other people started jumping on his team training calls that he invited people on. And pretty soon we had a bunch of people not getting enrollments that were getting enrollments. And JC had all these people convinced that that was the way to do it rather than the way that I would teach them, which is what works. What I do, it works for thousands and thousands of very successful network marketers throughout the world. Okay, it's what we do that works. Anything else that tries to shortcut it will only land you in frustration. It's going to land you in something that you want to make money in your business. If you do other things besides what I'm going to tell you tonight in any business, you're not going to make money. You're going to have a difficult time of it. That's why it's really important. And you pay close attention to it. Don't try to shortcut it. Don't try to short circuit it because it won't work for you if it's not done correctly. Nothing magical or mysterious or high tech about it. It's just a bare bone simplicity. The wheel, if it ain't broke, you don't fix it. And there's been many people through the years that try to shorten and simplify the recruiting process for network marketing and try to make it simpler and try to make it so there's less interaction, try to do it through email or whatever. And no matter what anybody's done, it has not taken the place of good old-fashioned network marketing and the skills that go along with that profession. Okay, now the first thing, you contact somebody on the phone. Okay, you get them, they either call you or you call them. First thing you're going to want to do is you're going to want to interview them. You want to find out some information. Okay, that's step one. I call it the three-step marketing system. We even had a person that came into Virtual Profit Academy that tried to change the three-step marketing system and make it different. A lot of people want to use sizzle calls. A lot of people want to use other means. Here's the simplicity that we use here at Virtual Profit Academy that works. This gets enrollments. And I, another thing I want to point out to you, okay, and I know I sound like I'm selling this to you, and I hope I am, to be honest with you, because it is that important. Sherry and I do this system. We have done it since we've launched Virtual Profit Academy, and we get a lot of enrollments by using this particular process. That's why it's important that you learn it this way and you apply it to this business as well as any other business that you're involved with. The first step is the initial contact and the qualifying interview. Okay, let's say that the prospect contacts you, whether you're using the voice blast technology, postcards, ads, or anything like that where the prospect would actually call you. First thing you need to do is get their name, their telephone number, and their email address before you do anything else. Okay? Then you want to write that information down in a spiral notebook or type it into an Excel spreadsheet, whichever way you want to keep track of it. Put it in your Outlook contacts or anything you want to do there, but make sure you get their name, their phone number, and their email address first thing. Here's how that sounds. Person calls up, and I'll say, hi, this is Gary. How can I help you? And they'll say, well, I just got your voice blast and pressed 1. Okay, good. So you must be looking for some type of a home-based business, correct? And they'll say, yes. Great. What's your name? And if they give me any kind of little wiggly, squiggly things like, well, I really don't want to give you my name until I find out what you have. And I'll say, well, good. Then call back when you're ready to give me your name, and I'll tell you what I have. But I won't go past that step until I have a name, a telephone number, and an email address. It's very important. If you don't get those things, you're not going to have a person sign up in your business. If a person won't give you their name, phone number, and email address, that person will not sign up in your business either. Okay? What you have to do is get it out of your mind that if a person isn't qualified, they are not qualified. People aren't qualified for a number of different reasons. They're not qualified based on sometimes income, sometimes communication skills, sometimes they're too skeptical. Whatever it is that disqualifies them, if they're not qualified, just disqualify them right there and then and move on. Okay? Everything that you do here in this initial step one and step two and step three of the three-step plan all the way up through their enrollment has to do with qualifying them. You're never not qualifying them. It's always a test. Everything's a test. There's a good movie you should watch called The Recruit, if you haven't seen it already. And it's absolutely, it's about a guy getting recruited into the CIA. And it's absolutely, when you look at the recruitment sequence at the beginning of the movie, just the very beginning of it, it's so perfect. Okay? So the first thing, what I would do is say, hi, this is Gary, can I help you? They'll say, yes, I pressed 1, I was interested in a home business. Okay, good, so you're looking for a way to make some extra money. Good for you, you got something exciting here for you. What's your name, or who am I talking to? Is what I'll normally ask. Who am I talking to? This is Ned. Ned who? Ned Thompson. Okay, good, so I'll write that down. Ned, give me a favor. My phone's ringing off the hook over here. We got a lot of people responding to this, as you can imagine. It's an exciting thing. But I need to get your phone number and your email address, okay? I'm going to shoot you out an email with a website address on it and some information. And I also need a phone number in case we get disconnected here because I might have to take another call in the middle of this. All right, so I'll get their phone number, get their email address, okay? After I've written that down, I'm going to say, great, well, thanks for calling today, Ned. I'm just using the name Ned because I talked to a Ned today. So just using it as an example, okay? Thanks for calling today, Ned. Before I send you my presentation, I just need to ask you a few questions just to get to know you. You know, get to know your needs a little better. Make sure you're the right person for this position. I always treat it like I'm interviewing somebody for a job. I'm interviewing somebody for a very important position in my company because I am. And you have to have that attitude during the whole process, or you'll sell yourself short. Okay, so you know. One of the things that I point out, if you look at training module number 2, is not to attempt to present anything or even give them a website address until you get their information from them. Okay, if they refuse to give you their information, refuse to show them the opportunity. You don't have to show them the opportunity just because they're there. How good are they going to be, in other words? Now, if you contact the prospect, you've already obviously you got their name and their phone number. Okay, that's if you buy leads or warm market or reverse marketing, or if they've called and left their name and number on a voicemail as a result of an ad or whatever. But if you're the one contacting them, you've already got their name and phone number, obviously. You might not have their email address, so you want to get that from them right away. And that sounds more like this. Yeah, hi, this is Gary Danko in Florida, and I'm calling because I know you've been looking at ways of making money, and I've got something really exciting for you to look at. Is this a good time? Okay, and you'll usually say, yeah, go ahead. Well, before I send you my website to see the multimedia presentation, I just need to ask you a few questions just to get to know you and your needs a little better and make sure you're the right person for me to work with. All right, so now I go into this is the qualifying interview part of it. Okay, so I'll make a statement to them, like just so we're on the same page, I'm only interested in working with positive, motivated, hardworking people, you know, somebody that really wants to make some big money. All right, so before we go any further, I just need to know, honestly, if you're willing to do what it takes to build a successful business. So are you? You know, so what I'm doing is I'm going through a procedure here, okay? There's contact. This is the first step of step one. Step one has subsets to it. When you're making that contact, there's several steps to it. Step one is the actual contact itself. You know, hi, this is Gary from Florida. I'm calling because you've been, you know, tell them why I'm calling, you know, who I am, why I'm calling, and is it a good time, all right? Now, I'm going to make myself known. I'm going to let them know what I'm looking for. Okay, so I've identified myself, now I'm going to let them know what I'm looking for. You know, I'm looking for positive, hardworking people. You know, I want some people that I can work with that really want to make a career out of this. All right, because I'm building a business and I'm looking for some real go-getters. You know, that can work directly with me and be some of my top people. So if you're willing to do what it takes to get there and to do that, then you're the kind of person I want to work with. So do you feel like are we on the same page there? Yeah, that's all I'm going to establish first with them. Okay? Now I'm going to find out what they need and want. Now here's how I'm going to figure that out. I'm going to figure out what they need and want by asking them questions. Questions are very powerful. The person that's asking the questions in the interview is the person that's in control. You might have heard me say this before. Control equals income. The person that's in control of the conversation is the one that gets the income. Okay, somebody's always selling somebody in a conversation like this. They're either selling you, there's a buyer and a seller in every conversation. They're either selling you their excuses and you're buying them, or you're selling them what they told you they needed, and they're buying it from you. But one way or another, there's always a buyer and a seller in a conversation. So the way you find out, if you ever watched boxing, has anybody ever watched boxing before?
Yes.
You know, okay, when you watch boxing, what happens a lot in boxing?
There's a lot of sparring.
Yeah, there's a lot of punches getting thrown and a lot of punches getting blocked, right?
Yep.
Well, if you compare boxing to what we do, okay, what happens to a boxer, first of all, if he's standing there in the ring and all he does is blocks the punches of the other opponent, what happens eventually?
Well, eventually,
one's gonna get through eventually, right? If he's just standing there blocking punch after punch after punch, eventually he's going to wear down and one's going to get through and clock him. So the person that's on the offense is the person punching. The person that's blocking is defending. If you're constantly defending, eventually a knockout punch is going to get through. Say the person that's on the offense is the one that's in control for the most part. You have to have a balance of offense, defense to be a really good boxer. Same thing applies in marketing, in what we do. If you're asking questions, that's the equivalent of throwing a punch. If you're answering questions, that's the equivalent of blocking a punch. You see how it works together? So if you want to win a boxing match, you got to throw a lot of punches. If you want to help your prospect, so it's a win-win. See, the only difference in a boxing match, one person gets knocked out and loses. With what we do, if the salesperson or the person on the recruiting end of a company does his job right, both people win. Okay, so it's important to learn how to do this process. Questions are the key to it. So you want to ask a lot of questions. So I've given you a lot of example questions. First question I'll ask, once I find out if they're on the same page as me, I'm going to say, are you currently involved in any type of home business, or have you been? If they say, yeah, I'm involved with ABC Company. Okay, good. Well, obviously, I'm not going to ask them what business are you in if they've already told me. So what's the first thing that I would want to ask if they say I'm with ABC Company? I'm going to say, well, what does ABC Company do? You know, what do you sell over there? And they're going to say, we sell widgets and poosets and all this other kind of stuff. And I say, okay, good. And they'll tell me all about what they sell. I say, good. What do you like the most about that company? And I say, well, I mean, I like the products. I think that, you know, the products are great and people need them. But what do you like the least about that company? Well, I've been with them for a year and I haven't made much money yet, and it's really hard to get help, and I'm really frustrated at this point. Okay, fair enough. Well, how long have you been with them? I've been with them about a year and a half, 2 years. Okay, how are you doing with it? Terrible. Okay, I'm doing terrible. I'm just not, I don't know. I just can't seem to get people to stay. You know, they have this auto ship thing and people sign up and, okay. Well, what would you say your key frustrations are with building that business? I mean, if you had to nail down one thing that frustrates you to just where you're ready to scream, what would you say that would be? What do you? And they might say anything like, well, getting people to show up for the conference calls and then they don't show up. They promise they're going to be there and then they don't. People that say they're going to sign up and then they don't. You know, I talk to people for 2-3 hours and they sound really excited and they disappear on me. That frustrates me. Okay. Well, if I could show you how to build that business better and faster than you are right now without spending hardly any money at all in the process, would you be open to learning how to do that? You're going to say, of course. And what if I could show you how to get rid of that key frustration? What if I could show you how to handle that, and you could learn how to handle that from a seven-figure earner with over 25 years experience doing what you're doing? Would you pass up on that opportunity? Hey, what do you think they're going to say? See, what I did is I found their key frustration by asking the question, what would you say your key frustrations are with building that business? And they told me. You know, what if I could show you how to get all the people that you talk to, or at least most of them, to show up on those conference calls that you're having a hard time to? And what if you could learn how to do that from a seven-figure earner with over 25 years experience in this industry? What would you say to that? You see how you immediately get their attention, right? He asked him, would you be interested in another source of income in addition to what you're doing now? Not instead of, but in addition to, right? I would ask him in addition to, because if you say instead of, they think you're just calling to get them to jump ship, which you're not trying to do. Okay, now if they if the person up at the top there, if they say, are you currently involved in any type of home business, and they say no, you would skip all those questions that I just went over about their business and key frustrations with that business, okay, and go straight to what I'm going to go into now. You're going to do these questions here, whether or not they say to being involved in a business, okay? So if they say, no, I'm not, you're going to go straight to these questions I'm going to go over now. If they say, yes, I'm involved in a business, you're going to go over the ones I just went over plus the ones I'm going to go over now. And these are all, again, these are in Training Module 2 if you want to see them. It's just been updated here within the last week. People keep asking, what kind of questions do you ask? So I've given you plenty of them. All right, so the next question I'm going to ask is, have you been involved in other work-at-home opportunities before this? Well, no, not really. That was the first one. Okay. Well, what kind of money are you wanting to make each week? And they'll usually say, oh, I don't know. I mean, I just want to be able to make a full-time income. Okay, what do you consider a full-time income to be? See, I want to pin them down to something. How much money would you need to make before you'd feel comfortable walking away from your current job to do it as a full-time career? See, those kind of questions will get them to come up with a number. You want them to come up with a number. You're going to use that later here. You know, how much time can you dedicate to your business each week? If they say part-time, well, what's part-time mean to you? Or I can do it full-time. What does full-time mean to you? Everybody has their own definitions of those. You'll realize that when people are talking about time and money, everybody has their own ideas on what a lot or a little is. So get them to define those things for you. When you're talking about time and money, get them to define their terms with you. What kind of work are you wanting to do? Okay, conversely to that, I'd ask them, what kind of work are you not wanting to do? Is there anything you're not willing to do? And if they say, well, I don't like talking on the phone, I don't want to sit in front of a computer and send emails, I hate people, so I don't want to have to deal with people, and I don't want to have to sell anything, they're probably not a candidate for what you're doing. Just be honest with them and say, okay, honestly, based on that, what we do requires quite a bit of interaction with people. And if you're not willing to do that, and you're not willing to sell anything, then you're probably not going to work out too well, and I wouldn't be interested in working with you. But, now here's, I always come back with this, too. I never slam the door on them. What I'll do is I'll say, but, okay, let me ask you this question. If dealing with people and doing those things you said you didn't want to do, if doing those things was the difference between you being broke and extremely wealthy, would you be willing to learn? In other words, if those things were holding you back from what you want out of life, would you be willing to give it a shot? If they say, well, yeah, I mean, if I have to do that to be able to be successful, then absolutely. Then, okay, good. As long as you're willing to learn, we can help you get through whatever is holding you back from not wanting to do those, from wanting to do those things. All right, the other question is, what area do you feel you need the most help with? Everybody has different things. Most people say, well, I have a hard time closing people. Okay? While you're asking these questions, take notes. Write them down. Write down the answers to these questions. Don't sound like a robot with them. If you ask a question that brings up additional questions in your mind, ask the additional questions that come up. Don't withhold the questions. These are just guideline questions. They say, well, if I say, what kind of work are you wanting to do? And they say, well, I don't know. Okay, I'm not going to let them off with that. They didn't answer my question. Now, come on, what kind of work do you want to do? I mean, this is important here because I don't really want to spend a whole lot of time presenting you with something and showing you something that might not be what you want to do. So what do you want to do? Well, I just want to do something, I mean, on the Internet or, you know. Okay, well, you, just on the Internet? Or, I mean, are you willing to use the phone? Would be the question I would ask. And say, well, yeah, I'm willing to use the phone, whatever it takes. Why? What do you got? Well, let me ask you this. What do you feel you need the most help with? What do you need the most help with if you had to choose one thing with regards to building a business? They might come back and say, well, I'm brand new. I don't know how to do any of this, so I need help with all of it. Okay, good. Fair enough. If you had the opportunity to learn how to build your business from a seven-figure earner with over 25 years' experience, would you pass that up? You know, if you like what I'm about to show you, here's one of the most important questions, because what you're going to do is close here. This is your first pre-closing question. If you like what I'm about to show you, is there anything at all that would keep you from getting started today or at least within the next 24 hours? You've got to ask that question up front before they go to a presentation. You know why? Because if you don't ask that question, you've left the door wide open for them to run away. They're to come up with some excuse. And you might sit there and say, well, you know what? If they come up with some excuse to run away, I don't want them anyway. But no, listen. I'll tell you, when I got started in the industry, it took a little bit of follow-through from my sponsors to get me to sign up on my first company. Because I said I needed to think about it. And I gave them all kinds of excuses. And I didn't know why. I was sitting there going, why? I'd give them some lame excuse why I couldn't show up to a meeting that night or something. Well, you know, my wife's not home to take care of the dog, so I'm going to probably have to take care of the dog. And you know, nobody's there, and the dog gets scared, you know, during thunderstorms, and there's a 20% chance of rain tonight and everything. So, you know, I might have a problem in the kitchen tonight. I don't know, but I just can't. I'm not going to be able to make it tonight. And then I'd be driving home, and I'd be thinking in my head, why did I tell them no? Why did I do that? And I'm like kicking myself. Why did I turn down the opportunity to go to this presentation? I should have gone. It goes through my head like that because, see, what happens is people have fears, okay? They have this little guy in their head that says, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And the problem is most people listen to that little guy in their head. That's most of the problems they have, that little guy in their head that says, don't do it, I wouldn't do it, don't go to the meeting. And see, and they listen to that guy, and they're like, okay, maybe I shouldn't go to the meeting. And they don't go. And then they're kicking themselves, why did I listen to that little idiot, you know? Well, these little things in your head are called circuits. Not a circus, like three-ring circus, but circuit, like when you close a circuit and turn on a light or something. Circuit. A circuit is a little thing that you install that's an automatic answer in your head. Your mind plays tricks on you, okay? You have an unconscious part of your mind that's really conscious more than you think it is that tells you things and orders you around like a little puppet. The problem is, usually what it tells you to do is destructive. Most of the time, what it tells you to do is destructive. And it's not the correct answer because it's based on past failure. It's based on other people's past failures. See, past failure has nothing to do with present success. I don't care what anybody says. Your past failures have nothing to do with present time success. Just because you failed at something in the past doesn't mean you're going to fail at it now. Look at a baseball team, for example. They go out and they play a team and they beat them 3 out of 3 games. Does that guarantee that they're going to beat them the next time they play them? No. Give you an example. You got the Tampa Bay Rays. They went up to Boston, got swept. Boston beat them all 3 games. Boston came to Tampa. Tampa swept them, beat them all 3 games. Tampa went up there. Boston beat them all 3 times. Boston came here. Tampa beat them 3 times. Just because you've been beat by a team once doesn't mean they're going to beat you again. Same thing in business. Just because you failed at it once doesn't mean you're going to fail at it every time. But the way that unconscious mind thinks is it happened once. A equals A equals A equals A. Everything equals everything else. You're going to fail again, buddy. Don't do it. That little voice comes from that. All it does is says because you failed before, you're guaranteed to fail again. And that's not, there's no truth in that whatsoever. See, the way a person learns, the way we all learn, the way any organism or being learns is by colliding with the present time universe around them. And they learn, and in that collision, they get upset. And then they pull back from it. And then they look at what happened, and they learn from what happened. And then they go back in again and do it again with what they've just learned and do better at it. And then they collide with something else, and then they withdraw, and then they sit back and look at it and say, oh, okay, I see what happened. Then they go back in again, do it a little differently, and they do better. So chances are if you go back and do something again, you're going to do better at it than you did the last time. You might not do as good as you wanted to, but you're going to do better. but the next time you go back at it, you're going to do better and better and better. You can't keep doing it without getting better. It's a natural law of our universe. But your prospect has that little voice in his head or her head that's saying, well, you did it before, didn't work last time, it's not going to work this time, don't need to go to that presentation, go out and have a beer, buy a pizza, don't go to the presentation. And you listen to it. And then you think, God, why didn't I do it? Okay, so your prospect's going through that too. So, you know, when a person is, you know, if they start flaking out on you in the middle of the presentation or the questioning or anything like that, don't buy it. Don't buy into it. Don't let them close you, in other words. Every time you let a prospect close you on their excuses why they don't think they can do it, you've let them down.
Really?
So don't let them down. Be a strong, stable, confident individual. And if they say, well, you know, I don't think this is for me, if I got to sell something, all this kind of stuff. Okay, well, what if selling was the only chance you had at making millions of dollars this lifetime? Would you be willing to learn how to do it? Because it is something that's part of what we teach you here. So while you're asking them these questions, pay attention to the answers and see what happens, okay? The other question you want to ask people is there anyone else who needs to be involved in this decision? In other words, if there's a husband there, is your wife going to be involved in this decision too? Because if she is, let's get her on the phone now so she can hear the same thing you're hearing. If it's a wife, is there a husband that's going to be involved in this decision with you, or that's going to have some sway on the decision? Because if there is, we need to get him on the phone with us. Can't tell you how many times you'll go through the perfect presentation with the perfect prospect only to have the husband or the wife talk him out of it after you've done all that work. Right?
Yeah, first
thing. So why not avoid that and get him on the phone right up front? See, these questions up front, these pre-qualifying questions, will save you a lot of work down the line. So you're going to take notes. You're gathering ammo that you're going to use to close the sale. You're gathering information that you're going to use later on. Give you an example of that. The reason that one question is the most important, if you like what I'm about to show you, is there anything at all that would keep you from getting started today or at least within the next 24 hours? And if they say yes, oh, what is it? Money. I don't have any money. Okay. Well, let me ask you this then. If, okay, you saw something that you like, you're obviously looking to get involved in a business. It's obviously going to cost you some money to get involved in any legitimate business that's going to make you any money. What were you thinking? Well, I just don't know if I could make the money back fast enough, and I don't want to lose the money. Okay, well, if you're afraid that you can't make any money, why are you looking for a business? Do you honestly think you're not going to make any money? If you already decided that, this probably isn't for you. You see what I mean? Takeaway. Don't lunge at him and try to convince him at that point. Take it away. All right, so you've got the person through those questions. You're going to go through the presentation as step two, okay? As you're going through those questions, what you'll find is you're showing some interest in your prospect. There's another natural law that's happening here. Anytime you put interest out, see, there's a difference between being interesting and being interested. If you're being interesting, that means you're trying to draw attention to yourself. You're bragging about yourself and talking about yourself and being interested in yourself and trying to get your prospect interested in yourself. What happens is when you try to draw attention in like that, you'll end up pushing your prospect away. When you're asking questions of your prospect and you're showing a genuine interest in that individual and trying to find out how you can best go about helping them, and you make them understand that the reason you're asking these questions is so you can better help them. They keep saying, why are you asking me all these questions? Why don't you just tell me what you got? Just because I don't want to waste your time. I want to make sure, number one, that this is the right opportunity for you. Number two, that you're the right person for the opportunity. And number three, that I help you in all the ways that I can possibly help you. And I can't do that unless I know you a little better. That's all. So can we continue with the questions? You see, you ask questions. You can also talk to them a little bit about, you know, what do they like to do, and, you know, what are some of the things you like to do? What are some of the things you would like to do? You know, what are some things you'd like to own? And, you know, what are, you know, if you were to come in here and make the kind of money we're talking about here, let's say you were to make $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 a month, you know, what would that do to change your style of life right now? You see? Get them drooling over it. So step two of the three-step process now is the website presentation. Your next step, and we don't send them anywhere else. No sizzle call, no nothing. After the interview, we send them directly to the Virtual Profit Academy website to watch the presentation there. If you're marketing some other company, then you do the same thing there. Now, your Virtual Profit Academy website has a wealth of information about our services, the opportunity here. It's all in the multimedia presentation, the written stuff on there, everything. There's a lot of info there for somebody, okay? You're going to give them the website address over the phone. Preferably, you'll have your own personal website address or domain name. Like I use www.garydankoonline.com. It's easy to give somebody, easy to remember. So if I give it to somebody, just say, go to garydankoonline.com. It's a lot easier than saying, here, go to virtualprofitacademy.com/members/GaryD. Okay? A lot easier to understand. So that's where you should get one and forward it to your longer address. That way they type in www.yourname.com and it goes to your Virtual Profit Academy website. And after you give them that, and after you've talked to them and interviewed them, what you're going to do is send them out an email. There's a sample email in Training Module 2. What I send out, word for word, to each person that I talk to, after I've sent them to the website, will be like, hello, with their first name, like, hello, Ned, or hello, George, or whatever. It was a pleasure speaking with you on the phone today, and I can't wait to help you build a profitable business like mine. Your next steps are as follows. 1, visit my website. 2, contact me at, and I have my phone number. 3, join me in the Virtual Profit Academy webinar room. My website address is, and I give them GaryDankoOnline.com. But I can't, you know, I can tell that you'll do very well with this business. It's definitely the easiest way I've ever made money. Sincerely, Gary Danko. And then, you know, have my phone number and my email address.
Are you finished?
Now, when you tell somebody, I can tell that you'll do very well with this business, that gives them some confidence. Now, if you're interviewing them and you can obviously tell that they're not going to do very well with the business because they have big shortcomings in communication, they got a bad attitude, they're negative, they're skeptical, all this other kind of stuff, it's kind of hard to send an email that says, I can tell that you'll do very well with this business. I probably wouldn't say that to that person. I probably wouldn't invite them either. It's totally valid and okay to disqualify somebody during that interview. Sometimes it only takes me a few questions. I'll ask them, are you currently involved in any type of home-based business? They'll say, just get to the point and tell me what you got. Whoa. Okay, so you want me to just forget about making sure this is the right business for you and everything else and just send you right to my website and get it done, huh? They'll say, yeah, just tell me what you got. I don't even want to go to your website. Just tell me what you got. Well, it's going to be hard to work with you unless I can actually get in conversations with you and understand you and get to know you a little bit. I don't care. I just want to go to your website and see what you got. All right, well, listen, I got to run. I got other calls coming up, and I really honestly don't think you're qualified for what I have. Okay, if you change your mind, give me a call back. You got my number. Talk to you later. And that's about as quick as that. I don't put another thought on that person. I just move on. There's millions and millions of people out there that need you. If somebody blows it during the interview, they blow it for themselves, not for you. Keep that in mind. All right, so now you send them to the website. They watch the presentation. Now you got to follow up and enroll them. If they haven't enrolled already, you got to enroll them. Now, Virtual Profit Academy, they go in. They fill out the form to go take the tour. They take the tour. They haven't enrolled yet. That's not included as an enrollment. You follow up with them. Hey, I saw that you went in and looked at the tour on the website. Do you have any questions about what you saw there? Or are you ready to get started? It's a closing question. Any questions, or are you ready to get started? Very simple. Well, I have a few questions. I just don't understand blah, 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 blah. Okay, good. Now, you're going to qualify the question. All right, so if I help you understand blah, 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 is there anything else you're going to need to know before you can sign up here? No, that would do it. Okay, good. So I qualified the question. All right, well, the reason blah, 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 blah is because blah, 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 blah. Good. You have a full understanding of that? All right, let's go ahead and get you enrolled. Well, I need to think about it, and it's going to take me about a week before I get paid. Now, here's where I whip out the answer to that first series of questions, the most important question. Is there anything that would hold you back from getting started today or at least within the next 24 hours? And if they say yes, I find out why. I figure it out. If they say no, I make a note of that. So by the time I get here, I should have already handled that. And I'm going to say earlier, I asked you if there was anything at all that would hold you back from getting started today, if you like what you saw here. And you said nothing would stop you. Now you're saying you need about a week. There can only be a few reasons for that. Number one, you just plain flat out don't like me. Number two, you just flat out didn't like the opportunity or the company. For three, there's something you didn't understand. Which one is it? Because that covers all of it. And I'll make it safe for them. I'll say, look, if you don't like me or my personality, that's fine. Okay? If you don't like the company or the opportunity, that's fine. I can understand those things. But if it's because there's questions and you don't feel like you got a full grasp of it enough to make the decision, I don't see what a week is going to do except confuse you more. The time to get those questions answered is now, because a week from now I'm probably going to be too busy working with somebody else to have time to work with you like I have right now. You know, I put quite a bit of time and attention on new people that I enroll into my business. And when I get off the phone with you, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to pick up my phone, and I'm going to dial the next person. And if that person signs up, they're going to be the person that gets my full attention for quite a while here until they get this on their feet and get moving. And call me back and say, okay, I'm ready to get going. If I've already got somebody in that slot, I got to work with them. You can sign up, but you're not going to get the attention from me at that point. That wouldn't be very smart because you got an opportunity to make quite a deal of money here that you could already have a paycheck coming to you by the end of next week. So let's just, if you have questions, let's get them answered right now. Let's figure this thing out. What's it going to take to get you signed up today? What will it take to get you signed up today? See, what I'm giving you here is correct follow-up that'll get you an enrollment. How many of you, when I'm saying these things and asking these things, feel a little knot in the pit of your stomach saying, there ain't no way I could do that? Anybody?
Yes, just a little.
Yeah.
Okay, now we're getting somewhere. Why?
Well, I'm not sure I can think that fast to remember.
It's okay, because you'll get it as you go. It's okay if you screw up. Remember how I said we learn?
Uh-huh.
We learn by doing. That's the way humans learn. That's the way animals learn. That's the way any living organism or being learns, is by colliding with this universe and then backing off and looking at it and saying, what did I do wrong? How can I do it better? And then going back in and doing it again, and then you collide with something else. In other words, that's when they say you learn from your mistakes. There's a lot of truth in that. The corollary to that is, if you don't make mistakes, how are you going to learn?
True.
I had a, when I was in a jazz band, when I was in high school, I played tenor saxophone. And the band director at that time, Mr. Allen was his name, said, look, if you're going to make a mistake, make it a big one so I can hear it all the way across the room. Make it a big, stand out like a sore thumb mistake so that everybody turns and looks right at you so I know where the mistake came from. That way we can fix it so you'll never make that mistake again. And he said, the people in here that make the biggest, loudest mistakes are going to be the best musicians in the world. Now, I didn't end up being the best musician in the world, but when in my 11th and 12th grade year in high school, I ended up getting trophies each year for the best jazz improvisation in the state of Florida. So I did pretty good anyway. But see, I learned because I made big, huge, glaring mistakes that everybody turned and looked at me. I wasn't afraid to make those big, huge, glaring mistakes anymore because I realized the value of those big, huge, glaring mistakes. And everybody would look at me, and I would just laugh it off. Mr. Allen would come over and say, Mr. Danko, what the heck was that? How did you get that sound to come out of that saxophone? It sounded like a cow giving birth. This is word-for-word stuff, you guys. I swear to God, things were actually said to me. And I said, well, here. And I show me with your fingers what you did on the keys of the saxophone, and then I want you to blow that note again, and I want to see how your mouth is on the mouthpiece when you do it. And he goes, ah, okay, I see what the problem is. And he fixed it, and I didn't do it again. Imagine that. But see, all the people that were afraid to make mistakes would be all shy and everything. They'd be sitting there, and they sounded terrible. Anytime you hear them play their instrument, they sounded terrible because they never got corrected, because nobody ever knew they were making mistakes because they were afraid to blow air through their instrument. So here, your instrument is your mouth. When you blow air through it and get your tongue in the way and move your lips, it makes sounds. You probably figured that one. I'm preaching to the choir on that one. And some of those sounds come out as words sometimes. All right? When you're talking, that's all that's happening here. You're playing an instrument called your mouth, and you learn to use it better and better the more you use it. You're using it in a different type of music right now than you used to, that's all. It's like if you're used to playing rock and roll and somebody puts some jazz in front of you, it's a whole different world. So right now, we're putting sales in front of you, and you're talking to prospects, and you're trying to help those people, and you're asking questions to get information from them, and you're taking that information and using that information to get them through all the little circuits and stops and barriers and all those kind of things that are keeping them from getting where they need to be in life. That's all you're doing. Everybody has that same fear. It's okay. You're not new if you have that fear. You either have it, or you're going to have it, or you had it and got through it already. That's the three stages you're in, but there's nobody that doesn't have it. You understand me? Everybody, I've been through it,
yeah.
And I got through it because I talked to enough people and made enough mistakes so that I knew where my weaknesses were. So if somebody asked me, what do you think your weakest part is? It would be like, well, every time the prospect says I don't have the money, I tend to agree with them and back off. And then they would handle me on that so that I wouldn't do that anymore. And it gave me things to say and do that would correct it. And they'd role play it with me. And then, when you come on these calls, if you're running into something constantly that's bugging the heck out of you, this is where you bring it up. Because I guarantee you there's somebody else on the line that's having that same problem, and they're afraid to blow air past their lips and make those noises called words, because somebody might hear them. And if you're the one that's brave enough to step out and say, hey, here's what's happening with me, there's what it is, that person sitting there going, oh, wow, that's the same thing that happens with me. I'm glad they asked that. And then I address it, and we role play it a little bit, and that person gets it, and 20 other people on the line get it, and everybody's happy. But see, that's how learning occurs. Now, fortunately, we do something that's non-hazardous. How many of you have ever heard that thing that words hurt? Anybody ever hear the phrase that words hurt?
Yes.
Okay. Now, what words would hurt you?
I always dislike the word stupid.
All right. So if somebody calls you stupid, is that going to hurt you?
Not now.
All right. If you call somebody else stupid, is it going to hurt them?
No. I don't think it would be nice.
No, it wouldn't be nice, but would it hurt them? Well, here, put your hand in front of your mouth and yell stupid at it as loud as you can and see how much pain your hand feels.
I think you would hurt them on a more different level. It wouldn't be a physical hurt.
It might get the feelings hurt a little bit, okay?
Right.
But are you going to call somebody stupid?
No.
Right.
But I mean, just saying. Now, it's the only thing I could think of.
Okay. Well, let's just say that you're in the sales process and somebody comes up to you and they said, so you're trying to help a person, right? Let's first define, how many of you know what hard sell is? If I say the word hard sell, how many of you know what I mean by that?
I want to know what it feels like.
Well, let me know. Would you like for me to use hard sell on you to get you to buy something?
No, I don't like that at all. You feel like you're getting backed into a corner.
Okay. Well, I'm going to get a definition out of here for hard sell, and I'm going to read it to you from the salesperson's point of view. And I want to, no, seriously, and I want you to see if you would like it to be used on you with this definition. So bear with me while I find it here. Let's see. Bear with me because I'm pulling out something that I was unprepared to pull out tonight, but I'm going to find it anyway. I know I got it here in my little reference book. And I want to read it to you the same way I learned it. So you get the whole gist of why it's so important. Let me ask you this, too, while I'm looking for this. Do you consider hard sell to be high pressure sales?
Yes. That's what I equate them to be. They're not equal then.
Okay. And if you're looking at it as high pressure sales, when you think of somebody using high pressure sales on you, what do you think of?
Coercion.
Coercion. Now what is coercion?
Well, that's pushing me faster than I am prepared to go. Faster than I can think, usually.
Okay.
Think of them as a bully.
Right.
So they're
right.
Talking you into something that you don't want to do, in other words.
It's not going to be a win-win, you feel like.
Okay. All right, fair enough. So usually if I knew I was going to talk about hard sell, see, I kind of go with this off the cuff sometimes, you guys, on these trainings, and we'll start talking about something, and I realize, okay, we're missing a definition here, and I got to find it for you, but I wasn't prepared, so I got to look this one up. You got me off guard on that one a little bit. So the definition, who knows what the definition of reasonable is? If you're reasonable with somebody, what does that mean?
Being fair.
You're being what?
You're being fair with them.
Fair with them, okay. Well, reasonable, the definition of reasonable actually means that you're allowing their false data to control them. So a lot of times being reasonable is not a good thing. It doesn't mean being polite, by the way. Let's see, 230. I think I just found it for you. Hang on a second here. But reasonable is when you allow somebody's excuses to get in the way. That's being reasonable. And when excuses, if it's a legitimate thing, then great. But not all excuses are legitimate excuses. There's a lot of data to back that up in sales. A lot of people will go into agreement with the excuses that are put out by their prospects, and they'll lose sales as a result of doing that. But basically, hard sell, I'm going to give this to you in a nutshell. I'm going to have to find this definition for you by Thursday, or by Tuesday, rather, and give you the whole thing. But basically what it is, it's caring about an individual enough to push them through the stops and barriers that are holding them back from getting the services or products that's going to help them.
Hard sell
is not a bad thing. If you care enough about an individual to push them through all the stops and barriers that they have, that's going to keep them from getting what they need, that's going to change their life, that's not such a bad thing, is it?
Nope.
Absolutely not. But that's the definition of hard sell. I was trying to find it so I could actually read it to you out of my notes here that I've kept. But that's probably almost word for word to what I have. But that definition is in a lot of different sales courses and books and everything else. One of the first people that gave me that concept of sales was Zig Ziglar when I met him at a conference in Tampa one year. You know, I just said, you know, sometimes I back off a little bit and I don't want to be pushy with people. He goes, well, you know what? Let's just say that you're a doctor. This is the example that Zig Ziglar gave me. He said, if you're a doctor and you've got a patient that has a disease and you have a pill that'll cure that disease and the patient says, I can't afford that pill, or I don't see why I should have to take that pill, would you be afraid to say, look, you need to take that pill or you're going to die? I said, no. He goes, why not? I said, because I don't want to see the person die if I have it in my power to save their life by having them take a simple little pill. He goes, good. Is there anything different about any other product that'll help an individual? If you're selling something that'll help somebody, that'll truly help them, and you know it'll help them, is there any difference, really? You know they need it. They might not know how bad they need it yet.